was in jail, so. But you have no right to call me a murderer. You have a right to kill me. You have a right to do that. But you have no right to judge me. It's impossible through words to describe what is necessary to those who do not know what horror means. Horror has a face, and you must make a friend of horror. Horror and moral terror are your friends. If they are not, then they are enemies to be feared. They are truly enemies. I remember when I was with Special Forces. Seems a thousand centuries ago. We went into a camp to inoculate some children. We left the camp after we had inoculated the children from polio. And this old man came running after us, and he was crying. He couldn't say. We went back there, and they had come and hacked off every inoculated arm. There they were in a pile. Pile of little arms. And I remember I cried, I wept like some grandmother. I wanted to tear my teeth out. I didn't know what I wanted to do. And I want to remember it. I never want to forget it. I never want to forget. And then I realized, like I was shot, like I was shot with a diamond. A diamond bullet right through my forehead. And I thought, my God, the genius of that. The genius, the will to do that. Perfect, genuine, complete, crystalline, pure. And then I realized they were stronger than me because they could stand it. These were not monsters. These were men. Trained cadres, these men who fought with their hearts, who have families, who have children, who are filled with love, but they had the strength to do that. If I had 10 divisions of those men, then our troubles here would be over very quickly. You have to have men who are moral and at the same time who are able to utilize their primordial instincts to kill without feeling, without passion, without judgment. Because it's judgment that defeats us.
Terrible Tommy here in the bunker on Freya's Day, Ladies' Day in the bunker for the She-Wolves. Yes, and this is October the 2nd, 2015, and I think we're going to have a pretty nice day. We're expecting some rain later on, but I'd got down into the 40s last night in I had to pull the little old covers up around Tommy's neck a little bit. Of course, some people who live in the north, even northern, farther climes, they say, well, you a silly little chicken. You ain't seen nothing yet. Well, you'll live to see and say the day is, these are the best times. Yeah. In fact, you'll live to see the day, hopefully, that you say this was the good old days. Even worse is better today is the good old days, because I hate to be the bringer of bad, dark news, but it's not going to get better. And it's not going to go back the way you thought it once was, either. It's going to be Katie barred the door shut. There's a man under the bed. And like my grandma always used to remind me, if you don't listen, Tommy, you'll have to feel. And the sheep of this North America and Europe are beginning to feel the wrath of Mother Nature culturally and ecologically and everything else. The forces are turning, and they're going to extract their pound of flesh from the body politic. And these people, masses of people, are going to not even understand it at the very end of their, in the beginning of their problem. They're going to, well, I don't understand. You know, we destroy cultures, we mix races, we send massive arms to other countries so they can kill their neighbor country. We dislodge leaders all over the world and either put the corporate choice of a leader in or no leader at all, and there's anarchy, and then we murdering millions of people around the world one way or another, and not we, but technically we have to accept some of the blame. And then, like the gal says on that clip from something mountain, you stand in the rain and you wonder why it's raining or something like that. Yeah, let me play that clip again for you.
Every piece of this is man's bullshit. They call this war a cloud over the land, but they made the weather, and then they stand in the rain and say, shit, it's raining!
So another 10 or 12 or 13, I don't know how many, got whacked yesterday or day before in Oregon. One of the reasons is many young people have an intuitive, maybe subconscious understanding that the educational system is not promoting them or helping them. It's in the long run destroying them. It's teaching them things that lead to their own destruction. And then, of course, all the mind-altering drugs they're feeding young kids, like even Ritalin for years and things like that. I say that those drugs go directly to the reptilian area of the brain, that primordial walnut on the top of the spine, and that's where the traits of a reptile take place. That with no conscious, no feeling, no mammalian feelings at all. And there's some people who understand this, and most people don't. But there are many people, many scientists who understand this. And many people, millions of people, get feelings of hostility and get pissed off and even imagine themselves committing crimes and killing people, but they don't do it because there is certain restraints there. But once you start inducing people with massive amounts of drugs and then massive amounts of propaganda, you turn them into whatever they become. So I don't... most of the answers to the problems are relatively simple. Now, they'll go on and on about this guy who killed 10 people, but our so-called government promotes killing masses of people every day. Whether they're drone striking a wedding party or just generally bombing civilians. And they say, oh, we didn't do that, or we're sorry we did it, but they do it. And then they say, oh, it's horrible for this one guy to go out and kill 10 people that he perceived, I guess, as an enemy. So we're living... So like the man says, we're living in a madhouse. It's totally insane. Most of it, or a good share of it, is religion-oriented, the Abrahamic religions especially, the three Abrahamic religions. And the rest is simply greed and power. That's it. What do you call that? The triumphant, the three major causes of your problem. And, of course, you step over the line with evolution and nature and, well, like today or tomorrow or a few days, we're going to get a big storm, supposedly, on the East Coast. Mother Nature's saying, bend over, boys. I'm going to whip your ass. Because at the basis of much of this, is yourself and your race. And I, you know, the right wing has always been good at saying we got a big problem about the race, but they fail to accept responsibility of our race of causing our own problems and following the bad leaders, the criminal warmongering leaders and financial people. And so things keep getting worse and worse and worse because that's what Mother Nature says. Well, you made the bed, now you're going to have to lie in it. So anyhow, that's my thought for this morning. And I, all these people saying, my heart goes out to you and I'm praying for you and all that horse shit, is just they might as well turn on a record player and play that, or a tape machine, because it means nothing. It's just something that they've been told to say. People in power, that's what they say. And it's always the same thing. Our hearts go out to you. What do you mean your hearts go out to you? What the fuck do you really mean by that? I take it as saying, fuck you. That's all it means to me, because number one, if you don't know somebody, it's very difficult to get too emotional about them, even though it's a very bad situation. Now, your neighbor across the street gets whacked, you feel some empathy and feelings about it, because you know the guy or you know the gal like that. But people thousands of miles a day that are had their culture distorted and have their racial solidarity broken and are encouraged not to have contact with anybody in their neighborhood, well, what can I say? And when you say your heart goes out to them, you're lying. It's just something you say. George Carlin's probably had something to say about stuff like that. Forget he's the Pope of the Church of what's happening now. Well, they promote Indiana as this part of the Bible Belt, and you know, they got churches on every corner and supposedly such a righteous people, but the rot seems to be just as heavy here as any place else, because the second highest ranking official in the Indiana House of Representatives resigned abruptly on Tuesday. State House Majority Leader, Representative Judd McMillan, Republican, those are the goody two-shoes, quit after telling several contacts in the text message last week, quote, my phone was stolen in Canada and out of my control for about 24 hours. I have just been able to reactivate it under my control. Please disregard any messages you received recently. I'm truly sorry for anything offensive you may received, unquote. In other words, he's in denial because neither McMillan nor the House Speaker, Brian Bosma, Republican, and of course you realize this is a Republican police state here in Indiana. Yeah, and they point fingers at the Democrats. It's a joke. Have identified what the offensive material could be, but according to the Indianapolis Business Journal, it includes at least one sexually explicit video. Instead, McMillan said in a statement that he decided the time is right for me to pass the torch and spend more time with my family. How many times have you heard that before? Now I want to focus all of my attention on making my family's world a better place, even though I've spent a lot of time trying to fuck up the world up until now and destroy the white race. Earlier this year, McMillan said in an interview with Fox News that he was not focusing on poor people by presenting a bill that would make passing drug tests a requirement for people receiving welfare benefits. And I agree, that is an attack on poor people because, you know, most people are brought up with drugs all around them. There's no doubt that they use drugs. But I would say that we should give drug tests when they open the state government every year after recess, that every state senator and every state representative take a drug test before they are seated. I think that should be done in the U.S. Senate and the U.S. Congress. If you're going to test poor people, then it's time to test people of power and rich people. Seems logical to me, seems fair, but what's fair got to do with anything anymore? Well, let's see here. What else? What else did this good Christian Republican boy do? Oh, yes, he jumped on the bandwagon. He was also listed as a sponsor of Senate Bill 101, the Religious Freedom Bill, that turned into a source of major criticism against Indiana for allowing business owners to refuse to serve LGBT patrons before being amended. Well, as far as I'm concerned, anybody should be that has any kind of small business should be able to turn away anybody they feel like doing it. But in the atmosphere in this country, there's not going to be much of that. These are things that are only used as political crap, that the Republican Party keeps using these kind of arguments to, you know, keep the sheep in line here in the Midwest. So all this LGBT crap and homosexual crap and all that is not really liked or wanted by heterosexuals, but I think most heterosexuals are going to say, well, let it run its course because it's just another thing that will run its course. And if a homosexual wants a pizza or he comes into the place holding hands with a guy, I mean, what are you going to do? We got bigger problems than that. We got bigger, not that I'm promoting that kind of activity, but these Republicans use that kind of stuff just to keep the fires going. And so here's another guy, another hypocrite, who is sending out sexually explicit stuff. Who knows what does that mean nowadays? Was he having sex with a dog or what? You know, so that's what's going on in Indiana, and you'll find if you put private eyes on any of these politicians here in Indiana, you'll find it to be just as rotten as anywhere else in the country, you know. Of course, these kind of guys will they'll go into their church and they'll confess their sins And the church people, they'll forgive them and they're right back at it. Yeah, that's the beauty of the Christian religion. You can be a homicidal maniac and kill a million people, but if you confess your sin, you're forgiven. I guess the Pope got a lot of criticism about meeting with this Kim Davis, this gal down in Kentucky that refused to certify the marriage of two homos. He met with her, and now the Vatican's getting heat for that. I'm sure the Republican Party is really going after him, the Pope. And so anyhow, I think that's sort of a publicity stunt for the Vatican to meet with this gal who's definitely, her skirts are dirty as hell. And yet she's, that's the problem when you get into this kind of stuff, where the government's certifying people this way and that way, and you got to do this and you got to do that. And in straight society, if you didn't want to serve somebody who's black with a white husband or whatever, you didn't do it, Of course, you couldn't do that to too many people because you'd lose business, but here's an example. My lady and I went out for dinner last night at a local restaurant, mid-scale restaurant, and all of a sudden I'm sitting there and I'm hearing this screaming and yelling, and I look over and it's two nigger kids, a black one and a white, a black one, two black male and a female black kid. Oh, they must have been about 7 or 8, or old enough to know better. They're screaming and yelling, and their parents are going through this fake deal of trying to calm them down. When my kids were young, if they had an outburst in a restaurant, I simply took them outside and applied corporal punishment, and then took them back in, and that was that. Not anymore, because you wouldn't want to lay your hands on one of the little darlings. Anyhow, here is two black kids that have been adopted by a white couple. And the gal, the mother, is about 100 pounds overweight. She's a big, fat slob. And the father's not much better. And I'm observing him looking at his paperwork on whatever it is for the food. He's pretending he's not there, and then gross upon gross, if you can imagine this, I saw him very coyly or whatever pick his nose and stick it in his mouth. Now this was a 40-year-old guy. I almost barfed in my meal. And they say you white people you white racial people shouldn't be offended. Well, how much more offensive could that be? Forced to, number one, look at a couple of monkeys with no discipline hanging from the chandeliers, and you're trying to eat, and the father eating his boogers. And this is not a cheap place. I mean, it's not a really expensive place, but it's not cheap. So, but we're not supposed to be offended. If I'd have said I almost did to the waitress, those two orangutans over there are ruining my dinner. Could you keep them shut up or on a chain or something? And that idiot white guy there that I'm ashamed to say is white, he's ruined my whole dinner because he's sitting there eating his boogers. He's doing it in a way that hardly anybody could tell, but I was looking directly at him. I could see the son of a bitch. These are the kind of white people you're having to deal with every day now, Sometimes not quite so extreme, but they're adopting these black charcoal nigger kids. And you say, I wonder, what the fuck is going on in their mind? I mean, you can't find any white kids, or I mean, hell, even an Asian better than the niggers. So now they're going to grow up in the town here, and chances are they're going to, at some point, commit some crimes. Or at least they'll marry into your race, because you know how it is. Well, I can't discriminate against Rastus down the street. He's our neighbor. He goes to the same church as we do. He goes to the same school we do. Our kids do. So we can't discriminate against him because he's a good guy. So we can't tell our daughter she can't go out with this nigger because he's a good Christian. And, God, you know, the Christians say God loves everybody and we're all equal. So if we don't help destroy our race, then we're bad people, you know. So the very thing that's kept your race reasonably on point is used against you. They've turned everything around, and so you're supposed to feel guilty. You're supposed to feel guilty for saying N-word or nigger, or pointing out that the niggers commit a lot of crime, or pointing out that niggers kill their own people because they're closer most of the time to their own people. That's a crime. That's a sin, to point out the truth. They don't argue with you whether it's the truth or not. They just want to shut you up. So anyhow, going to get better before it gets, or going to get worse before it gets better, and I don't think getting better is going to happen for a long time. So get used to this being the good old days. You know, I've told you this story before, but while I'm on this Indiana deal about the perverts in our state government, there was this judge in San Diego, typically Jewish name, I forget what it was, you know, Goldstein or something like that. But anyhow, he was caught that he was having all kinds of perverted sexual activity. Now, when it came out that his choice of sexual activity was hiring prostitutes and paying a lot of money and shitting and pissing on their chest. Yeah, right. You know, this is the kind of shit that goes on by the people who are passing judgment on us. And even after it came out, he did not lose his judgeship, this kike. As far as I know, he's still on the bench. Now, this is an example of how everything's been turned upside down and why people are beginning to hate the institutions and hate the leaders and hating society in general, because it deserves to be hated. And so the guy, and then the guy's pumped full of drugs and everything, and even over-the-counter drugs, and he grabs a gun and just goes nuts. Because this society drives people nuts. It drives people over the line. And then couple that with sending all these troops over to the Middle East to kill and maim and bomb the populations over there, which they intuitively know is wrong, and they're going over the line, but they're sold a bunch of bullshit about killing the people to save the people. And then when they come back, well, just like Vietnam, a whole lot of Vietnam veterans came back mentally totally screwed up. Why wouldn't they be? And instead of joining up with the white separatists or some other group that was trying to do something, they just went more farther into drugs and so forth, and robbing banks and you name it. So by shipping fairly healthy people out of the country, you bring them back as homicidal maniacs, just waiting for the right time to when the drugs or whatever or depleted uranium affects their brain. And then, like the gal says, you stand around and say, "Shit, it's raining." you support the institutions. Let's face it. a good share of people in this country support the bullshit, or they're too cowardly to do anything about it. So they're just as guilty as the people doing it, as far as I'm concerned. Well, here's something I picked up from the Israeli press. Throughout the history of the international Holocaust denial, that's an interesting combination of words, Holocaust denial. In other words, anyone who questions any facet of the Jew story, the Jew nursery rhyme, is bad. And everybody that supports those two words is good. And that's just not the way things run in life. There's the gray areas and so forth. Few interviews with deniers appear in the mainstream media. To interview them is a double-edged sword in which the journalist achieves little. Either he manages to carry out his interview and to raise reader awareness of a falsifier of history. See, they've automatically assumed that they're falsifying history, whereas I would say most history is falsified, or at least half-truth, because the winners and the ruling class make the books. Or the journalist fails to providing an open forum to a Holocaust denier who is presented as a victim and or defender of historical truth. Well, yeah, that's right. If you don't allow those people into the debate or the argument, of course they're the victim. I'm surprised that the Jerusalem Post, in an interview which appears on September 2nd, 2015, allowed itself to be caught in David Irving's game. Oh, color him evil. First, these guided tours of concentration camps organized by Irving are a farce. Any associations that attempt to oppose them might be successful in banning them, in which case Irving could claim to be a victim of censorship, gaining publicity in doing so. Of course, and that's the way it should be. If you're afraid of free and open discussion, Mr. Kike, well, that's your problem. On the other hand, if these tours are not banned, Irving creates media buzz in the camps. In short, one way or another, he wins. Well, I wouldn't exactly say that. I regret the Jerusalem Post didn't quote the judgment from Irving's trial in April 2000 in England. Well, this is the one where he went a little over the line and went into a court controlled by the Zionists and the Jews and Christian Zionists and expected to get justice. And I remember when Ernst Zundel did that kind of stuff. That's a waste of time. I think it was not Gustave Le Bon, but I forget the guy's name. Bastiat, yeah, I guess it was, who said, if you expect to go into the court of the very creeps that are screwing things up and expect to get judgment, paraphrasing, you're crazy. You're not going to... I hear a lot of racists keep thinking they're going to get justice. I noticed that the poor mother of our friend Matt Hale keeps grinding out more and more stuff about his innocence and all that. They don't care if he's innocent. Of course he's innocent, or at least he was overcharged. People have to get in their mind that when you cry about stuff like that, they love it. Those judges love it. Those courts love it. You got to get over that. And so anyhow, the right wing keeps doing that, you know. I see at least one person is sitting doing 40 years now. They keep trying to appeal. Well, they're not going to go for your appeal. You're not going to be appealed. They're not going to give you, they're not going to let you out. Once they get a hold of you, they're going to keep you as long as they can, probably for the rest of your life. And don't give these courts any respect, because they get a kick out of you asking for your constitutional rights. My rights. That shows you that you're very stupid if you don't understand that these courts and judges are part of a criminal situation. If you give them any kind of respect, it's almost as bad as giving the voting elections respect. Like there's something legitimate about them. There's nothing legitimate about the system. It's all based on criminality. So anyhow, I'll go on here from the Jerusalem Post. The Court of Justice unambiguously declared Irving anti-Semitic by ideology and by neo-Nazi, by his contact with neo-Nazis. In other words, he knew people who were critical of Jews. You know, to these people, anybody that criticizes a Jew or the Jews collectively is a Nazi or neo-Nazi. They don't say just Nazi because they know you could take them to court probably that you're not a member of any National Socialist Party. So, and how can he be anti-Semitic if he is not anti-Arab? Why don't they just be honest and say he's anti-Jew, or at least highly critical of the Jews? And they said Irving's a Holocaust denier. In other words, you've lost the argument already. Who falsifies historical truth? Well, I think the Jews have falsified more history than maybe any other group. I may be wrong, but I think so. Judge Gray found that Irving had, for his own ideological reasons, persistently and deliberately misrepresented and manipulated historical evidence in order to portray Hitler in an unwarranted favorable light. Well, how about that? Particularly in his treatment of the Jews. Irving had significantly misrepresented, misconstrued, omitted, mistranslated, misread, and applied double standards to the historical evidence in order to achieve his ideological presentation of history. Wow. He is a terrible man. Thus saith the Jew. Gray also found that Irving was an active Holocaust denier. Well, in what way? Did he deny no Jews were killed during that period? Or does he say that it was only half what the Jews claim? Or was it 6 million, 1 million, 10,000, or what? It don't make any difference, because you're automatically then a Holocaust denier if you deny any part of what the Jews' construct is on the Holocaust. That he is an anti-Semitic and a racist. Well, there's nothing wrong with being anti-Semitic as far as I'm concerned. However, I don't like to use anti-Semitic. I like to use anti-Jew and be, just go to the source here. And racist. Well, there's nothing wrong with being racist. Racist just means that you're concerned with your own race. I haven't really heard Irving go to great lengths about racism. I think he denies it all the time, like a lot of others of these same type people. They think they can get out from under the criticism and persecution by saying, no, not me, it's him. I'm not like them. I'm not like that one. No, I'm not like him. And he associates with right-wing extremists who promote neo-Nazism. Well, what is a right-wing extremist? You see, the public is taught to consume this bullshit, terms like this, right-wing extremist. I mean, define that for me, please, who promote neo-Nazism, and define that. far as I'm concerned, there is no such thing as Nazism. There are people who criticize the Jews, and also there are people who are racial separatists and so forth like that, or who take a much kinder view of the Germany before and during World War II than other people. Note from the website Holocaust Denial on Trial, where D. Lipstadt, this Jewess that brought suit against Irving, gives all the defense documents and so forth. There was Irving must have been on drugs when he went into that court and actually sued these Lipstadt or somebody, and he lost the case and cost him a lot of money. Ernst Zundel did the same thing. And I, whenever I used to have some contact with Ernst, I used to tell him, I said, you put your head in the lion's mouth and you expect him not to close his jaws around your head. Just like when I told him, don't come to the United States to live. He got hooked up with this chick, and I've never been really excited about her either, because she was involved in some very anti-white activity in her career, belonging or speaking all the time before the National Education Association, which I would say is one of the most anti-white working class outfits in the country, and so forth. But anyhow, but no, they never listened to old Tommy. And I'm not trying to say I'm brilliant or I'm all wise, but there's some things that are just logical. You don't put your head in a lion's mouth and expect him not to sneeze. The interview should also have highlighted the contradictions within Irving's allegations, but did not. The newspaper allowed David Irving to speak out. Well, I thought that's what newspapers were supposed to do, let everybody say something. He was able to convey his motives, responding to people confused by the conflicting versions of history. In other words, giving another version of history to skeptics. What's wrong with that? That's how you get to the bottom of everything, beating one against the other to find out what's going on. But the Jews don't want you to talk. The Jews automatically call you a criminal before you've even started the argument. This is one of their main crimes against society in general, no matter who they perceive to be their enemies. Shut your enemy up any way you can. Set him up, shut him up anyway, you know. Why do you think they like all these politicians that are becoming perverts and having all these side things going on? Why do you think that? Well, they build dossiers on them, just like J. Edgar Hoover built dossiers on all popular, important people, including actors and so forth, so he could use it against them to shut them up, if need be. To question about anti-Semitism raging in Europe, he replied that the Jews should ask themselves, why are they the ones who are attacked? And I asked the same question. You always should ask that. Why, you know, Jews have had problems all the way down through history, in every culture, in every nation. Well, why is that? Why is that? I mean, you know, most other groups aren't treated that way. Even some really weird ones. They're not. I mean, you know, so you always have to ask yourself, well, simply to say, well, why did things go to hell and during the 30s and 40s? Well, because they first went to hell in the teens in the First World War. Jews were very involved in the armaments business prior to World War I and during World War I, and blowing the shit out of Europe and causing dissension all over the place and ripping up the caliphate down in the Mideast that had been controlled by the indigenous Arabs for 1,000 years. So they tear up the shit out of things, and then people intuitively start investigating and pointing their fingers. Hey, it was Jaime. Or he was, along with the Zionist-type Christians is Jaime and his Aryan co-criminalists. And so then the people rise up, and they're led by somebody who's a good speaker, and they go after him. It's simple as that. The Jews first commit the crimes and then cry because the crimes are committed against them. It's really weird. He ends by denying being an anti-Semitic and the not yet regarding to his anti-Semitism is the icing on the cake that should have signaled to the Jerusalem Post that they should not have published the interview. Well, you're free to be anti-Semitic if you want to be, just as much as you're free to be pro-Semitic as you want to be. In a free society, I mean, you can decide which way to go. And anti-Semitic parties used to be very popular in Europe, all over Europe. And it was good to be able to curtail some of the criminal activity that the Jews commit. Of course, there's excesses on all sides, but most of the excess is on the Jew side. To the question about anti-Semitism raging in Europe, he replied, As a specialist on Holocaust denial, this guy that wrote this article, I give seminars at Yad Vashem on the subject of French teachers who come to improve their knowledge on the Holocaust. Unfortunately, Holocaust denial is rampant in French classrooms, and teachers are bombarded with expressions of denial from their students. Aha! The worm is turning a little bit. In addition, Holocaust denial is growing. Well, of course, because truth outs. Gradually, truth outs. It takes a long time sometimes, but it will out. Maybe one day Israeli students will have doubts. Last year, for example, Israeli writer and musician Gilead Altman gave his support to the famous Holocaust denier R. Forasan. There could be no room for discussion with deniers. Oh, no? Well, that's the way Israel's run as a police state, really. Between the religious orthodoxy and the militaristic leaders of the country, Israel is there, but there is a growing number of people in Israel that are questioning things, and there's a growing peace movement in Israel and so forth. So there are a lot of tame Jews out there, and they're coming together, and so the walls of the lie are falling gradually. There are two ways to respond to deniers. Either refute their allegations with Holocaust facts, Jewish facts and proof, or to unmask them by exposing their extreme ideology. They're guilty because they think. Like I put a sign up out front of my house, "Freethinkers, think." What did the Jerusalem Post do except give him free advertisement for his guided tours of the concentration camps? I think this is a great idea because Irving and a lot of other people know all kinds of facts about the concentration camps' physical setup. And when they say that they herded people into rooms and turned on the gas, you know they're lying because they said that they sent, after they're all dead, they send these guys in to drag the bodies out. Of course, that Zyklon B would have killed all these people that were dragging them out. There's all kinds of absolute lies, and of course, one of them is the amount of time it takes to cremate a body, which at that time was, I believe, about 7 hours, or maybe not that much. Now it's about 4 hours, I guess, with modern crematoriums. So if you start doing the math and take their 6 million and figure it out, extrapolate it, it'd take hundreds of years to do what the Jews claim that the Germans did. And why do you keep calling them not Nazis? Why don't you call them Germans? You know, you don't you don't call the Japanese Neo-Shintos because the Shinto concept was a religious concept in Japan. When is it going to end? And just, they must have made a deal with the hierarchy of the Germans that we won't call these people just Germans. They're always going to be Nazis, like the German people didn't support 99% of what Hitler was doing. Quit kidding yourself. Just like the people who did not criticize Bush Jr. for invading and murdering hundreds of thousands of Iraqis. How should historians and associations and activists fight against Holocaust denial react to this interview? If we don't react, we leave the door open for more truth. No, creating a dangerous precedent. However, if we react with public condemnations, we only increase their exposure. Well, so you can't win, Jaime, so you might as well give up. Sooner or later, your whole house of cards is going to fall. And when it falls, and it is falling all around the place now, not necessarily because of the Holocaust lie, but because of your modern crimes since World War II. You've committed so much economic and military crime since World War II, I don't think we even need to argue about your fake Holocaust deal. There's plenty to convict you, just like I've told people since Christ was a myth. The Jews got saddled with the guilt of killing Christ. Now they shifted it to the Romans, killed the non-existent Jesus. Well, I say, forget all that. Even if they did, the Jews have committed so many crimes against the world society since then that all you have to do is indict them on what the crimes you can absolutely prove they did. Now, like, what about the USS Liberty? I think they killed 200 American sailors. They never apologized. And the United States government is so pussy-whipped by the Jews that they never went after anybody. So, Jews commit crimes and never are tried for the crimes. So, that breeds more anti-Semitism. So I'm a great supporter of anti-Semitism, but I'm not a real hater of Arabs or people in the Middle East. I just think that if you're going to solve any kind of problem that our military-industrial complex has started and the corporations of this country have started, the only way is to back out, get everybody out of there, get all the American forces out of the Middle East, period. And then the Arabs will solve their own problem. Yeah, as long as we keep going in there and allegedly propping them up and giving them tons of weapons, it's going to be just like it is now. But if you pull everybody out, and put a ban on selling them weapons, the Arabs will solve the problem themselves. No problem. But you know that's not going to happen, because they're making too much money and they're building too much power, leaders with lots of power, lots of money, and lots of crazy-ass ideas like Zionism. So we're going to keep traveling down this road to self-destruction. And even with Europe being invaded by all these people fleeing their countries, they're not going to bring Israel to the bar of justice or anything like that. It's just going to get worse and worse and worse. Sorry, boys and girls, that's my ideas for October the 2nd, Freya's Day, 2015, when we just passed a full moon. We used to have a saying, I think you remember it, the devil made me do it. And of course the Christians use that as an excuse all the time. Well, I think we need a new one. the Christians made me do it. Christian Zionism made me do it. That's my excuse. And that's it for Friday, Freya's Day, and good day to all you she-wolves out there. And I'll be back with you on Moon's Day with another bunch of good news. Because my good news is the system's bad news. Always remember that.
There's something happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds, are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street singing songs and they're carrying signs. Mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Into your life it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. You better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. You better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. You better stop now, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. You better.